Support for Living on Earth comes from listeners like you. To make a donation, please use the link to the left of this webpage. And thanks.
It's Living on Earth. I'm Steve Curwood.
And I'm Jeff Young. President Obama wants to create 5 million new jobs in clean energy, clean technology, and environmental cleanup. And though many people are looking for jobs, few have the right skills and few places exist to teach them. Living on Earth's Bruce Gellerman found a program in Massachusetts that's already specializing in green job training and has our report.
Gary Kaplan is something of a leading economic indicator. As executive director of the Boston-based nonprofit JFY Networks, it's been Kaplan's job for the past 3 decades to anticipate the jobs of the future and then create workforce training programs to meet the demand. When biotechnology was heating up, JFY Networks taught biotech skills. When financial services began booming, it provided training in that.
So the industry comes to us, and the industry, in effect, says, hey, we need some people, and they need to have these kind of skills, and we need them in about 2 months. Can you deliver them? And we say, okay, so what do we need? We need some this, we need some that. We pull all this together, and that's a workforce development program. We do what the industry asks for. You know, if the customer wants pink, you do pink. When the customer decides he wants blue, you do blue.
Today, companies want green. The mantra is green jobs for blue-collar workers. But Kaplan says the U.S. educational system is ill-equipped to provide the specialized training for the emerging green economy.
We have a huge problem in this country with workforce development. If we're going to have a growth of all of these green technical industries, we need a tremendous number of people with technical skills. We're not producing them.
Just 15% of the nation's high school students are enrolled in vocational education, and just a small fraction of those get training in green technologies. And a similar percentage of university and college students graduate with degrees in the so-called STEM subjects, science, technology, engineering, and math. That's where Kaplan's JFY Networks comes in. It brings together vocational ed, higher ed, and industry to form an ad hoc network that provides specialized training and, more importantly, certificates in emerging fields. These days, JFY Networks does workforce development in the hazardous materials industry, cleaning up asbestos, toxic waste, mold, and chemical spills. Students completing the 14-week course receive 7 different federal occupational safety certifications, or what industry insiders call HAZWOPR certs.
This industry does not care if you have a PhD from Harvard. You can't work. If you don't have these certifications, you cannot work. So the first question you go to apply for a job, the first question is, have you got your HAZWOPR? If the answer is no, it's very nice to meet you. If the answer is yes, it's, hey, suit this guy up.
Well, we're getting suited up to respond to a hazmat situation.
Mike Mace wriggles into a gray plastic jumpsuit. He's one of 18 students at this JFY HAZWOPR certification class at the University of Massachusetts in Lowell.
This is a splash suit, and it protects you from having hazardous chemicals splashed on you. This is a cartridge respirator. These are rubber boots, contaminant boots, splash-proof boots.
Mike Mace, like half the participants in this class, already has a job. Some even have college degrees. Their companies are paying to get them their HAZWOPR certs. The other participants are with JFY Networks. The cost to them is nothing. The 14-week course is funded by the Federal Environmental Protection Agency.
You should be starting to form a list of what equipment you need. Air monitoring equipment, spill containment equipment. We've got a ventilation machine out there if you think you might need it.
Mike Fitz, one of the hazmat trainers, barks like a drill sergeant as the green recruits pour over bookbinders and rehearse procedures.
You got to know what gets you hurt when you're putting the suit on and going in there. The PEL for ammonia is 50. It's a skin hazard at about 1,800 for most people. So at about 1,500, most places put you into level A.
A short pep talk and Fitz deems the trainees ready to take their practical exam, cleaning up a mock hazmat emergency.
We got to put them in the prom dress because it's time to dance.
For 6'4" Asmund Fabian, that means putting on a level A hazmat suit. It's the highest level, full containment. His air tank squeaks as he tests it.
So we're just waiting until we get that okay, and then we'll finish suiting up, and then we're good to go.
Boy, that can't be any fun to work in.
No, but I take my time, you know. I want to learn all the procedures the right way. It doesn't bother me. You know, taking it easy. I've learned a lot of stuff in here.
What were you doing before this?
Laid off. Unemployment. I want to start a career that doesn't get shipped overseas, you know, and I'm always the type of guy who likes to jump into new things.
The trainers divide the 18 Hazwhopper hopefuls into three teams. Each will face a different scenario. Instructor Mike Fitz tells one team a pipe at an ice cream company is leaking a gas, possibly ammonia. The second team has to deal with barrels abandoned by a bankrupt chemical company.
And then the third group has got an area around the corner here where we dumped a bunch of popcorn, packing popcorn, to simulate bird droppings that the birds have been coming in through a broken window and they've got a biological hazard. So they're forming into three teams to deal with those three hazards.
What's the hardest part of this kind of exercise?
For them, coming from a background where they don't have any chemical knowledge at all, trying to learn what the chemical hazards are, and what we try to drive home the most is safety, so that they're safe on the job. That's our goal.
The JFY participants receive a semester of college chemistry and lab credits. The hands-on part of the course employs what hazmat instructor Jimmy Smith calls the popular Ed method.
We start with the concept that everybody, with adults, all of them come with some knowledge. They just don't know how to direct that knowledge, right? So we give them the linkage to pull that knowledge together so they can make decisions. And some of them have never had chemistry, and we break it down to them. And it's really interesting to watch, see the light bulb turn on and say, ah, I got it, eureka.
JFY student Andrew Hopper hasn't yet found that moment, so before his team sets out on their mock hazmat scenario, he steals a few seconds to hit the books.
We're on the decontamination team, so we're just looking at how you do it again.
You got a loose leaf binder here with quite a big loose leaf binder,
right.
Actually.
It's
a lot to learn.
Well, they go over a lot of it. There's so many acronyms, I couldn't tell you how many. There's a lot of them.
Okay, well, this one says positive pressure, SCBA. This is a test. What's SCBA?
It's your self-contained breathing apparatus. And it's what you need for level B atmosphere. It's a level B suit. And you can have it for a level A, but a level A is fully encapsulated, so it'd be inside the suit with you. Level B, it's on the outside.
Did you know this stuff a few weeks ago?
No, I didn't.
The pace picks up. The teams spread out around the building. And JFY trainee Clarence Proctor pulls on his air mask and hood.
Yeah, we're going in on biohazard. Bird poop can become a real problem. It gives off, like, ammonia. You know, it can knock you out.
Then, as an instructor looks on, Proctor cautiously enters the room and begins taking readings of the air.
Zero PID. Oxygen 19.2.
No, just 19, he said.
That's Ty Small on the walkie-talkie. She's working on Proctor's backup team.
They tell me different levels of the IDLH, the LEL. Right now we have hydrogen sulfide in there, so I'm trying to protect them from that.
A few weeks ago, did you know what hydrogen sulfide was or LDL?
No, not at all. Not at all. But this is a good program. It's a good opportunity. Before I was in this program, it was just really hard looking for jobs and things like that. But since I've been in this program, it's a real good opportunity. You learn a lot. The hands-on is excellent. So I'm really excited about it.
The JFY trainees also go through mock interviews with prospective employers and learn how to write a resume. Based upon past classes, Larry Elgert, marketing manager at JFY Networks, predicts 80% of these students will graduate.
People will wash out during the program. We simulate this program exactly like going to work. We tell folks, you're not coming to training, you're not going to school, you're coming to work. So I hold somebody to the exact same standard as I would somebody on my staff. So then when they get into the workforce, it's a seamless transition.
The idea behind JFY Networks is simple, says Executive Director Gary Kaplan. Turn hazmat training into a three-letter word.
It's a job. It's a dirty job, but it's a job. J-O-B. It's a job. It has a paycheck attached to it. It also has security attached to it. These jobs cannot be sent off to China. There's no business cycle involved here. It doesn't matter if we're in the bottom of a depression. When something gets spilled, you get sent out to clean it up. And we've had a lot of people say things like, you know, I go home and my children say, gee, Dad, you know, you're cleaning up the environment. You know, they're in the green movement.
And with so much federal green in the economic recovery package aimed at job training programs, Gary Kaplan is planning to expand the JFY Network's offerings to include certification courses in energy efficiency and renewable energy. For Living on Earth, I'm Bruce Gilliland.